Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday afternoon, May the 29th, 2011. Carla Batod is the speaker of the afternoon teaching on Wake Up. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Okay, if you have... See, sometimes when Bibles are interpreted, they take those italicized words and they put them in there like they were there. This changes the meaning of the whole thing. What it really says is, who was he grieved with for 40 years? Not with them that sinned. It wasn't their sin that he was grieved with. It was not their sin. Not with them that sinned. Now, there's a comma, and then it's talking about those that he was grieved with, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest. And then there's another comma, and then it says, but to them that believed not. So if you break the sentence down, you could say this, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Not with them that sinned, but to them that believed not. Those are the ones whose carcasses fell in the wilderness. Those are the ones who entered not into his rest. 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of, not sin, but unbelief. Unbelief is a serious spirit. 4 verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. See? He doesn't want us to fall short of his rest. But what will cause you to fall short of his rest is unbelief. Unbelief. Okay? Let's look. Well, that word unbelief, this is the definition in the concordance, Strong's Concordance. Faithlessness. Faithlessness. Disbelief. Unfaithfulness. Disobedience. See, if you don't believe him, you're in disobedience. Without faith, like a heathen. That's what it means. Like a heathen. Untrustworthy. Boy, that's a word you don't want on you. Being untrustworthy. Listen to this one. Infidel. Infidel. That means an unbeliever. Now, let's flip over real quick to Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to show you something here. Chapter 21. I'm going to start at verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. You know, all these environmentalists and all this global warming. In 1 Peter it says that the earth and everything in it is going to burn up. You want to talk about some global warming? It's going to burn up. It's going to be destroyed. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving. Number one on the list. Fearful and unbelieving. It doesn't have the murderers first, or the rapist first, or the child molesters first. The fearful and the unbelieving. Believe him. Believe him. Believe his word. Believe him. The fearful and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We can't play around with unbelief. We cannot. You know, we've been talking about a lot about forgiveness. And forgiveness is a deliberate act of your will. So is believing. God even said that to me one time when I was reading, a scripture that just almost sounded too good to be true. I even stopped and said, wow, wouldn't it be great if that was really the way it was? And he said, Carla, this is my word. You can't believe this one over here that you like so much and not believe this one. Now, he challenged me right there. He was challenging me to believe his word. And I thought about it, and I said, okay, Lord, if it's in your word, I will believe it. The first book I read in the Bible was James. James talks about dead faith. James talks about being a doer of the word and not hearer only. So from the get-go, that was important to me. I'm going to do the word. So I said to him that day when he said, this is my word. You can't believe this one over here and not believe this one over here. You either believe it or you don't. And I said, okay, Lord, if it's in there, I'll believe it. And not only will I believe it, but I will do it. And I committed myself to him. I committed my husband to him. And I committed my children to him. He was talking to me about healing, actually. Trusting him for healing. Not even going out and laying hands yet. Just trusting him for healing. Reading in James 5:14, where if you're sick, go to the elders of the church. I'd never seen anybody do that. And the first time I did it, the church said, we don't do that here. I'm like, really? What kind of church is this? You know, if you don't believe God's word, if you're not doing God's word, maybe I'm not in the right church. But God taught me how to trust him. I got my own oil. I anointed my own kids, laid hands on my own kids. We quit getting sick. He said, not only can I heal you, but I can keep you. Okay. See, plant those green onions. Just make a hole and cut the tops off and stick them in the ground? Okay. He said, I can keep you. I said, okay. I just believed it because he said so. Belief is an important part of this lifestyle in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, now I want to show you a few fearless people. Look at 2 Kings 2:8. 2 Kings 2:8, and what it takes. 2 Kings 2, verse 8. This is the account of when Elijah was fixing to leave. You know, they told him, he's going to be leaving today. He's going to be leaving. Now, this kind of bothered me because, I do what I'm obedient, you know. I was obeying the word. I was very obedient to my daddy. And so when I read this, look at verse 2. Well, let's go to verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Now, see, if I was with somebody and he was over me, and he said, I want you to stay right here, I would have stayed. Look what I would have missed. So this is, you know, it kind of, you got to be violent. And we'll get to that later. But it says, he says, oh, as the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. So you know what happened? He was taken up in a whirlwind. But while they were traveling, he said, he asked Elisha, if you're with me, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion. Look in verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I'm taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and separated them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Now, look over at verse 8 real quick. It says, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided to the one side and to the other, so that they too went over on dry ground, just like Moses did. Elijah did that with his mantle. Okay? So now, Elijah has gone up. He dropped the mantle. Elisha was there to see it, and that was his promise. If you see it, you shall have it. So he immediately, look what he did. It says in verse 12, it says at the end, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Then he goes, he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted to the one side and to the other. And Elisha went over. He didn't waste any time. I don't even remember the scripture I read a while ago, but it said, you know, we immediately, you need to, when he said, do it immediately. Don't wait, because unbelief, the doubters, all the naysayers, all of that. Look what Elijah did. Let us be like Elisha. What is, you know, I love that song. These are the days of Elijah. Man, I love that song. I just love that song. But you know what? Let this be the days of Elisha, where we quickly do what we saw our master do. He didn't tarry. He didn't wait. He picked up that mantle immediately. Do you know why Jesus had to leave? Because he was going to send his Holy Spirit, which is the very power of God. He had it while he was here on earth, and he gave it to the 12 and then to the 70. But you know what? That's too limited. He needed it to be all over the world. So he's going to go. He gave himself a sacrifice so that he could send us that very same power he walked on this earth with. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've received his Holy Ghost, pick up his mantle. Pick up his mantle. That is your inheritance. It's your inheritance. Jesus said, He said to the Father, as you have sent me, so send I them. Let us be like Elisha. Fearless. He didn't think twice. He picked that thing up and went and struck the water just like he saw Elijah do. Let me see if this thing works. And that's what I did when I first started. Okay, God said it. I believe it. Jesus is going to be right there with me. And so he's going to do it. He just, you know, his hands are in heaven. Jesus laid hands on people and they were healed. Well, his hands are in heaven. He wants your hands. That's what it means to present your body a living sacrifice. His hands are in heaven. His mouth is in heaven. He's given that to us. Do you believe it? Okay, good. Now look at 2 Kings chapter 2. No. 1 Samuel 17. Bo talked about this too. David and Goliath. 1 Samuel. David knew God. He spent time alone with God. He was out there tending the sheep. It's probably a boring job if there's no wolves around. He had time to spend with God. He talked to God. He communed with God. God communed with him. Let me tell you, I'm a talker, if y'all haven't figured it out. I'm a talker, and I talk to God. I talk to the Lord. He talks to me. He'll answer you. Start talking to him, and then be quiet so you can listen to him. Don't be distracted. These are serious times we're in. Okay, we all know the story. Goliath, this giant. David was little, but he knew God. See, as a man thinketh, so is he. He knew who God was. It didn't have anything to do with him. He knew God. He knew what kind of God he had. And he was confident in his God. He wasn't hiding from God. And he wasn't afraid. He goes and he's going to take on this giant without armor, without a spear. He used what he had. God can use what you have. You may not have this, but you might have this. He'll use what you have. But I want you to look especially at verse 45. The giant has said, I'm going to kill you, you little pipsqueak. I can't even believe you're out here. I'm going to kill you and feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. And then David said this to the Philistine. You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name. In the name. What do we say? We've got the power in the name of Jesus. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses, not just your carcass, the host of the Philistines, this day into the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. See, we've been given the name of Jesus. You know the scripture that says many will say, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, I never knew you. And they'll say, but Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We've prophesied. We've done many mighty works in your name. And he said, yeah, but I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But you know what my question was when I read that? Oh, wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. How is it, if they didn't belong to you, that they could do these things? And he said, it was my name. They did those works in my name. My name. I honored my name. Had nothing to do with the people. We have the power in the name of Jesus. And we're believers. Believers. There are others who are doing works. But there's a difference. We've got to be believers. Okay, look at, this is the last one. Well, first, about Elisha and Samuel. Now, let's go ahead and do Moses, Exodus 14. You know, Moses spoke with God in the burning bush. I don't think the bush was really burning. It was his glory on the bush. It was his glory. The bush wasn't consumed. His glory is like that. It's powerful, but it won't kill you. It won't consume you. I want you to notice something. Exodus 14, look at verse 13. Now, Moses took them all out of Egypt, right? They've gone as far as the Red Sea. They can't go any further. And they're all freaking out. That whole group of people are freaking out. And Moses is trying to calm them down. And he says to the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more. And the Lord interrupts him. God interrupts him. In 14 it says, or he goes on and says, the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. And in 15 it says, and the Lord said to Moses, I think he interrupted him, why are you crying out to me? But lift up thy rod, in verse 16. But lift up thy rod. See, he had shown, you know, what do you have in your hand? What do you have? Well, I got a rod. Throw it down. He threw it down, it became a snake. Pick it up. He reaches down and picks it up, turns back into a rod. God puts his miracle working power in that, that's how he got the water out of the rock. It was to perform miracles with. It was his rod of authority. But he wasn't using it. He's crying out to God. We do that too. He's given us his rod of authority in his name, his blood. He's given us that. He's given us permission to use it. But we see ourselves like Mephibosheth. Me? You mean me? As a dead dog as I? No. We need to change the way we see ourselves. We need to see ourselves how he sees us. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. Do you believe? It says, then you have the power to become the son of God, the sons of God, the children of God. That word receive means to get hold of, to seize, to take hold of with force. It means to understand and comprehend. Now, in Matthew 11:12, I'm going to flip over there and read something to you about that. That seizing and taking hold of. Those are some forceful words. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. That word violence means trouble and pressure. Is anybody here having some trouble and pressure? That's because you're in the kingdom of heaven. And the enemy hates you. And that's his job, is to give you trouble and pressure. Those are his weapons, trouble and pressure. And the violent take it by force. The violent, that word violent means vitally active, energetic, and forceful. That should be the description of ourselves. Vitally active, energetic, and forceful. And the word force, take it by force, that means going after and not stopping till you obtain it. You have to stick with it. You have to be determined, like Bo said this morning. I'm going to keep. I'm going to give him trouble. I'm going to give him trouble. We're supposed to get hold. When we receive him, we take hold and we seize and we understand and comprehend. When you understand and comprehend the power that he is and that he has given us, you're not going to sit back lame. You're not going to see yourself as a dead dog. You're not going to see yourself as unworthy. No. You're going to see yourself the way he sees you. Philippians 2:6. Philippians 2:6 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See, we are, let's look at Romans 8:29. This is what we are. Romans 8, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's our purpose right there, is to be being conformed to his image. Look at 8:16. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs with Christ. Do you see yourself as a joint heir with Christ? He says you are a joint heir. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Do you know the whole creation is waiting for us to begin to operate in what he has commissioned us to operate in? You know, in Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make man in our image after our likeness and give him dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle and every creeping thing and everything that moves upon the earth and over all the earth. You think that earth out there is not groaning after that tornado sucked every leaf off of every tree, pulled the roots up out of the ground of those trees? You better believe creation's groaning. We have compassion for the people, but creation is also groaning. It's waiting. I told my husband, I said, do you know, if it just grieves me, I know it grieves God, that believers don't know that they can have dominion over the elements, over all the earth, it says. When you get those weather reports that this kind of weather is, you know, everybody starts scrambling looking for their shelters. There's nothing wrong with that. But my goodness, if every believer came together and said, I take dominion. I thank you, Lord, you've given me dominion over the fowl of the air and over everything that moves upon the earth and over all of the earth. I exercise that dominion right now in faith, believing that what you said is true. I believe it. When I found that, I started taking dominion. My dog thought I was crazy. I would go outside and take dominion over the weather, and he's looking around like, who's she talking to? He would come sit right in front of me and look at me like, is she talking to me? I mean, really, and people will just think you are nutty, but I take dominion over the weather. I bind tornadoes. I forbid them to form in the name of Jesus. I take dominion over hail. I forbid damaging hail. I forbid damaging lightning. I forbid flooding in the name of Jesus. We'll receive the rain for the nourishment of the earth. But I bind the violence in that storm. Death and destruction, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And I even stand angels around all the electric poles because I don't want to lose the air conditioning. I don't want my fan to go off because it's going to wake me up. But let me tell you something. It works. I take dominion over the fowl of the air. Every time I get in my car, I take dominion over the fowl of the air, over everything that moves upon the earth. And in Jesus' name, I command them to stay out of my roadway. I have had birds fly up and just almost hit my window and just make a whoop. Dogs will be running out this way. Turns around, but because I've taken dominion when I left the house. I'm telling you, I bind every rock and loose article on the road to the road. I'm tired of having my windshield pitted and broken with rocks. And one time I was in Houston, and this truck, like a paint truck, was in front of us with stuff hanging all over it. Nothing was tied down or anything. And this, I was taken away to the airport, and I prayed that prayer as soon as I got in the car. He thinks, yeah, Mom, okay. But one of those big buckets, a five-gallon bucket, paint thing, empty, fell off of the truck, and we were about as far as behind the truck as the wall. But now the bucket's on the road, and I'm going 70, you know. But the bucket, and it was windy, the bucket scooted on the road. You know, it could have tumbled, jumped. No, stayed right there on the road. I'm telling you, we have dominion. I went fishing one time, and I wanted to catch a fish. I thought, what am I doing? I got dominion over the fish. I command you to bite my hook. And I caught a fish just like that. My whole family was like, but I'm serious. Well, yeah, I mean, we laugh about this stuff, but I'm telling you, God's word is true. I take dominion over my body. It was so hot when I came in here today. I said to myself, Lord, I take dominion over the atmosphere in this room, that the air around that pulpit is going to feel 68 degrees. And I haven't felt hot at all. I take dominion over hot flashes. Nah, that is a curse. Jesus became the curse. He suffered every hot flash on my behalf. I bind hot flashes in the name of Jesus. Hey, I bet they thought John the Baptist was a little crazy. They thought Jesus was crazy. I read that the other day. You have a demon. You know? Believe His word. Believe His word. Begin to take dominion over those things. Okay, now we're gonna deal with the evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief is a dangerous spirit. I forgot that as I read each one of these scriptures, I was going to stop and cast that demon out right there, because I ran out of time and my list kind of got, it's a little sparse. But Lord, bring every one of those spirits to my memory when I start casting out these demons, Lord, that none of them are left in the people. In Jesus' name. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind every evil heart of unbelief, and I break your power right now in the name of Jesus. Unbelief, go! In the name of Jesus, we break your power. I forbid you to work in God's people. You evil heart of unbelief, go! Hardness of heart, I break it right now. Hardness of heart. Hardness of heart, you go. I speak into them a heart of flesh. A heart of belief. I loosen them faith to believe in the name of Jesus. I come against the grasshopper spirit, seeing yourself as a grasshopper. Little old me, what can I do? I'm only human. Well, no, you're not. Not anymore. You're immortal. Really and truly. You're a spirit being, and you are immortal. I come against that grasshopper spirit. I bind you and break your power. I command the grasshopper spirit, go in the name of Jesus. Unworthiness, I bind you and break your power. Seeing yourself as unworthy, I command you to go. Every spirit of feeling unworthy, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. All weakness, go in the name of Jesus. Feeling like you're just a weak person, don't have any power to do anything, I bind that weakness in Jesus' name and command it to go. I bind every spirit of fear, I bind you and command you to go, and I loose upon them power and love and a sound mind, because your word says so, Lord, and I just speak that into your people. Fear, you go. Shrinking back, hiding, intimidation, timidity, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to go. I break your power now in the name of Jesus. Lameness, being ineffective for the kingdom of God. Crippled, being crippled and depressed and sad and smitten, beat up, and just, you know, can't hardly even get yourself out of bed. I bind every one of those spirits and break its power and command it to go now in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of magnification right now. That is a spirit that the devil uses. He puts a big old magnifying glass on your weakness. He makes it look too big, too big. He even puts it, he'll put it in front of you where he's standing, so you'll think he's bigger than you are. Then you become the grasshopper. Bo has just really bolstered all of that in us. He is under our feet. He is defeated. We have the victory. That doesn't mean we don't have to fight, though. There is a battle to be fought, and you're in it. And if you don't begin to stand up and use your rod of authority, you're going to get beat up. I bind that spirit of magnification. I break its power, and I command it to go. I come against, that Lodabar, let me tell you what else it means. It means pastureless. Lodabar means pastureless. Pasture has to do with the sense of feeding, provision, life, sustenance, and well-being. You have no pasture, you can't have a flock. You have no flock, you got no meat. Okay? So I bind and break pasturelessness off of you in the name of Jesus. The curse of Lodabar, go in the name of Jesus. I break it right now in Jesus' name. Being disabled for the kingdom of God, I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. Faithlessness, all faithlessness, go right now in Jesus' name. Disbelief, go in the name of Jesus. Just not believing. Unfaithfulness, go in the name of Jesus. I loose faithfulness into your people, Lord. I come against the spirit of disobedience, not obeying your word, not believing your word. That is part of unbelief. Disobedience. I bind disobedience in the name of Jesus. I bind rebellion in the name of Jesus. Untrustworthiness. I bind untrustworthiness. I bind you and break your power in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of infidel. Just being an outright unbeliever. I bind that spirit of infidel. I break your power and command you to go in the name of Jesus. Daniel 11:32 says, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." That's what we should be doing. I release the spirit of Elijah right now in Jesus' name. It says that the spirit of Elijah fell on Elisha in a double portion. You know what? I pray that for Lake Hamilton. Lord, let a double portion of the spirit of Glenn fall on us. That mighty man of valor. That man wasn't afraid of anything. He told me a story one time about picking up some crazed guy in the middle of the road. He knew their family. He was going to take them home. The guy gets in the car and immediately sticks a gun to Glenn's temple. You know what Glenn said? "You can't kill me."
Whoa.
That's bold. We should have that. We should have that. I pray for a double portion of that, Lord, for Lake Hamilton. Let the works be doubled. Let the stakes of the tent be extended in the name of Jesus. I loose upon you an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit. Daniel had an excellent spirit. Took him places. I loose upon you an excellent spirit. The spirit of counsel. I loose upon you the spirit of counsel and might. I loose upon you the spirit of might in Jesus' name. I loose upon you the spirit of valor. Valor. That means force and strength and virtue. I loose upon you force. That going after in it and not stopping till you get it. And the it is the kingdom of God. Everything Jesus died for you to have. Get violent after that. Vitally active. I release upon you vitality, energy, and force in the name of Jesus. I loose upon you courage. Courage. I bind the spirit of the coward, the fearful spirit of cowardice in Jesus' name. I loose upon you boldness, holy boldness. You know, Peter gets a bad rap, but he was bold. He walked on the water. Hey, they may talk about old Peter all the time, but he got out of the boat. I like Peter. I relate to Peter because Peter was quick to speak. I have a teaching sometime I might do. It's called Oops. You know, he was going to defend Jesus to the death. Jesus said, you know, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Never! Get thee behind me, Satan. It's like, oops. I thought I was doing a good thing. And I loose upon you confidence in your God. Confidence. I release upon you the spirit of David, who whipped Goliath with the power of God. The name, he came in the name of the Lord God of the host of Israel. I loose upon you belief. Belief. The ability to believe his word. I think we need to make a declaration, because it's just like forgiveness. Say, Lord, if it's in your word, I will believe it. And not only will I believe it, I will be a doer of your word and not a hearer only. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for this word. Lord, I just speak encouragement to receive what you have given them today, that they might receive it, they might believe it, think on it, get excited about it, and don't hold back. He said, he that believeth on me. He didn't say, he that believeth on me and then goes to school for 10 years and practices all these things. No, just do it. Just do it. And I bless you. And I look forward to hearing some awesome testimonies when you step out and begin to do it. You don't have to be all finished to begin to do the works of God. He'll do it. He just needs your hands, your feet, your mouth, and your willingness, and your obedience, and your belief. Father, I just ask you to bless your people. Lord, they've heard some mighty things this weekend. Let it change how we see ourselves. Lord, let us agree with your word. Let us agree with your word. And we give you thanks for that. And Lord, right now, I just ask you to bless the food. Can you believe it's time to eat again? Time to eat again. We thank you for this food. We thank you for providing food for us to eat. We thank you for Lake Hamilton. Lord, we just ask your blessings to be upon this place. We look forward to a double portion of your anointing here to finish the works that Glenn started. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.